You know what? It's really tough being a pastor, I've got to say this. Coming up with a sermon every week, right, that's one thing. But then you come to these events like Palm Sunday. What can you possibly say about Palm Sunday that you haven't said 100 times already? The only thing that makes me glad is that none of you probably remember any of my previous Palm Sunday sermons. I could come up with the same thing every year and you'd be none the wiser, would you? Literally, yeah, the kids would remember. A few years we used to process from the car park in with our palm branches and had them lying all over the place. And if I'd have been more diligent, we could have got enough to do that today. I borrowed the ones we've got from the garden out the front on the roundabout there. So they look like they needed a bit of pruning. Should have pruned the biggest one so you could see the over the top of them. Anyway. Luke 19, 28 to 14, it's the story of Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. So, after telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As you enter it, you'll see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" And so they went, and they found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." And so they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they'd seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees amongst the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." So, okay, one thing about that reading. Who can tell me what's different about that version to all the others? I know you know because I told you. You know because I told you. Somebody, just... Oh, well, it's just a translation. In the facts of the story, is there something that stands out? Something's missing. Palm Sunday, no mention of palms. Mount of Olives. They threw their clothes on the road, but nothing about palm branches. Probably Luke was not interested that much in the particularities of Jewish traditions, and so just ignored it. Pardon? Didn't do botany. So all the other Matthew, Mark, and I guess John do mention the palms, but just thought that was interesting, it's not there. One other thing that I noticed, or that I thought about, that I haven't thought about previously, and it's this. Jesus is very pro-choice. He gives people a choice, and this sort of prompted my imagination a bit. See, Jesus was making a point as he jumped on the donkey and rode into the city of Jerusalem. He was making a very big point that he was coming as the king. And, the expected Messiah was expected to be, was the prophesied Messiah was expected to come like a king and set Israel free from its captors. And people were expecting that any time now the Messiah would do that. In fact, they'd had dozens of would-be Messiahs whom the Romans had dealt with very effectively and got rid of. And so Jesus comes in as a king. He's making a political statement. I'm a king. But the thing is, in the symbolism of that day, if you were coming into a city as a king to conquer the city, you would come on a horse. If you were coming to claim ownership of that city, you would come on a big horse, with your big army. But Jesus didn't do that. He came as a donkey. And the message he was sending was, yes, I'm a king, but I'm coming in humility and I'm coming in peace. And so he's making this provocative political statement, a provocative religious statement, and saying to people, what are you going to do that and do with that? And here's the thing. He gave people a chance to respond. He comes riding on a... he comes as a humble king, if you like, as a almost a peaceful king, not a conquering king. He could have gathered all the armies of heaven, all the angels, and trotted in there and said, right, there's a new kingdom, I'm in charge, you Romans get out of here, it's all over. But he didn't. He rode on a donkey. And at that point, people had a choice. Jesus was fulfilling prophecies. There's a prophecy in Zechariah that says, look, your king comes to you on a donkey, riding on a donkey, riding on the colt of a donkey. And there was no doubt that everybody would have seen that. And so he comes into the city riding with all that prophetic provocation, if you like, and he's saying, all right, I'm here, I'm the Messiah, what are you going to do about it? And he gives them the choice. The choice they took was to crucify him and to hold on to their earthly power and to, you know, maintain the status quo. But what if, here's the question, what if the religious leaders had seen Jesus for who he was? What if they had recognised that prophecy? What if they had recognised the miracles and the raising of Lazarus from the dead and the healing of the blind man as signs that Jesus was the Messiah? In fact, there were... I'm ad-libbing now, so I didn't actually look this up, but there were three signs, three miracles that only the Messiah could do. I can't remember what the three were. I can never remember what the three were. But two of them were raising a dead man back to life after the third day, and another one was healing a man born blind. And there was a third one as well. And Jesus had done those. No. There is another one in John's Gospel, and it says the Pharisees, you know, investigated. Remember the man born blind? They harassed him a lot. They were investigating whether that was a real miracle or not, because when he did that, Jesus was saying, I'm the Messiah. And so now he comes riding in on the thing and says, I'm the Messiah. What are you going to do about it? And what if those leaders had said, yes, he's the Messiah? Well, of course they couldn't, because that would have meant handing over power and all that sort of stuff. But they had that choice. They were hard-hearted. They refused to make it. And they were locked into their political power games. What if Kevin Rudd had gone riding into Parliament House on a donkey the other day? Would they have recognised him as the Messiah? Or were they locked into their hard-hearted political games? Well, I don't know. But Jesus gives us a choice, and that's what's important. You know, Jesus never overrides our abilities to worship him. One day he will, on the day of judgment. Everybody will acknowledge that he's Lord. But in this life, we all have a choice. You have a choice to worship him, to obey him, to follow him, to accept him as Lord, or go your own way. The leaders on that day, many of the people in Jerusalem that day, many people today have heard the gospel but continue to go their way. The second point I wanted to make about this passage today isn't entirely related to the first, but you know, God gives us the choice. And secondly, people chose to worship Jesus. And we saw in that play earlier on that not everybody was convinced that they were there to worship Jesus. There were people just there for the spectacle. There were people that were caught up in what was going on. People just, were in town for a week and needed a bit of entertainment because it was pretty boring and no TV in the motel rooms in those days. So they turn out to this, this bit of street theatre and, wow, it's pretty good, let's join in. And the crowd's there praising Jesus. And it said there that they... In verse 37, they were praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Isn't that interesting? They recognised that Jesus was the Messiah and they were worshipping him for that. They'd already tried to make Jesus king early in John 6:15 after the feeding of the 5,000. It said they wanted to make him king by force and because they wanted the free food forever sort of thing. But here are people on Palm Sunday worshipping Jesus and praising his name. Not some of them were, the true followers of Jesus. Others had different motives, but there they were, voluntarily worshipping Jesus. It was an opportunity for them to recognise that he was the Messiah too. And we know that many of them didn't, or at least some of them didn't. Some of them didn't recognise either in the symbolism of the event or the miracles that he performed that Jesus really was the Messiah. But here they are worshipping him anyway. And for a few minutes on a Sunday afternoon, they set their sights on the eternal instead of the immediate. And I guess there's lots of times in people's lives when, God breaks in and suddenly they're aware in ways that they haven't been before that God is real. I remember years ago, not long after we first came to Narrabri, we took my mum and dad to Sawn Rocks, and my dad especially has been very hostile towards God for all his life, pretty much all of his life. And in those days, the walking track was arranged in such a way that you sort of scrabbled through the dirt and stuff, and then you came across just around this corner, you're just walking in the bush, and then you come around this corner and there it is right in front of you, the full frontal thing of Sawn Rocks. And Dad goes, "Oh, it's like a cathedral." That's all he could say. And I believe God really hit him over the head at that point and said, "Well, here I am. What are you going to do about me?" And lots of people have opportunities in their lives to where God breaks in, and it might be something natural, or it might be they go to a church service and the Holy Spirit's there, or they might, be watching Joycey on Sunday mornings or whatever, and God really hits them over the head and says, "Look, I'm here." But he never takes away their choice, their ability to make a choice. And here's the deal, we all have to make that choice to worship Jesus and to follow him. So, I guess today, Palm Sunday, it's about choices, the choices that we make. As we know how the story ends, the choice of those leaders was to continue on their plans to crucify him. And the choice of others, Judas went on with his choice to betray Jesus. Peter, when faced with the choice of owning up to being a follower of Jesus, chose to deny that he knew him. And Jesus had a choice too. He could have said, "I'm over this, I'm out of here." But he didn't. He went through with this awful sacrifice that he made. Not just the physical suffering of crucifixion, but the spiritual experience. It's the Son of God of being separated from the Father. And receiving all the wrath and anger of God for all the sins of the world. Palm Sunday is all about choices, and I guess my message to you today, my exhortation to you today is always choose God, always choose to follow Jesus, always choose to walk the way of the Lord. Even if it's difficult, even if it's unpopular, even if it means suffering, because in the end there's vindication, in the end there's eternity, in the end there's joy. Father, I just want to thank you that you always, always, always give us choices. You don't ever force us to worship you. You don't ever force us to obey you. You don't ever force us to give up our sin. You just lay the choices before us, and Palm Sunday is about choice, about the choice to worship you or not, about the choice to welcome you as Lord or not. And Lord, I pray you give each of us the ability today to set our our hearts on the rock. Make that choice, to make that decision in our life that everything is about you from now on. And Lord, as we face choices each day with the thousand decisions that we make in a working day, as we make choices in our relationships with other people and our friendships, as we make choices whether to do the right thing or to do what's convenient, Lord, help us to choose you. Lord, may our devotion to you be so firm, be so solid, that the choice is always you. Lord, change our hearts, change our minds, change our souls, and wash away those sinful choices from our lives, and help us to choose you always. Amen.